Great human advances have been made technologically, and so I wanted you all to know this morning that I have advanced. I no longer have a flip phone. Now, will somebody tell me how to turn it on?
Michael will.
Michael will, yeah. That's what I'm afraid of. We are thankful for all those who are visiting this morning. Among our visitors, I have a nephew, Jimmy Nolan, his wife, Denise, and a couple of the children. One of them I already put to sleep, and I haven't even been up here. But they're traveling to Florida to see Bob, who has pancreatic cancer, and we hope and pray they have a safe arrival to Florida. This morning is a very important lesson. I try to make all of them important, and I hope you know that. Things that will help encourage us and strengthen us. But this one is kind of dear to my heart because freedom is very important, and along with freedom, there are responsibilities. And when we talk about the Word of God being maligned and threatened and torn asunder on many occasions, it reminds us very truly how important it is for us to study and to meditate upon this book and to gain from it things that we so desperately need to be implementing in our own lives and trying to help others to search the Scriptures and apply those truths to their lives. Even though the Bible is still the number one selling book, people fail to read and fail to study it. And so we hope this morning that we can encourage you to study the Word of God more each day as you go through life. Freedom is a most precious possession. I cannot imagine what's going on in foreign lands where even this very hour Christians are being put to death, ravaged, taken from their homes, beaten, oppressed, and put to death because of their belief in the Word of God and their obedience to it. I read recently where one young lady announced that she was a Christian, and then they beheaded her. We can only imagine how very important freedom is to us, but especially when it comes to the religion, Christianity as being a way of life for those of us who are Christians. Whether it be freedom of the press, political freedom to speak out in our own country, or religious freedom, we all thrill when expressing the Word of God. Patrick Henry, a long time ago, gave this quote, and I'm sure you all are aware of at least a portion of it. Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Religious freedom is a basic part of man's civil rights. And it's really hard for us to imagine that our lives would be so threatened that we could not even read the Word of God and to study it in regard to the freedoms that we enjoy in this nation. And so that's one of the basic parts of our civil rights. And one should have the liberty to believe what he wants to believe religiously. And I'm hoping that that freedom will never be taken from us. Thomas Jefferson said, and I quote, "The God who gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. And he was echoing, of course, the clear teaching of the Word of God concerning man. Concerned about life and the liberties that we enjoy. Paul, in the Galatian letter that we had read in your hearing a few moments ago, and I want to stress some phrases and some words in that text as we have time. He says, "And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel, the good news, which I preach among the Gentiles." It was difficult for Paul, dealing with Jews and Gentiles in his missionary journeys. "But privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." Paul announces in several of his epistles how important it was for him to have the freedom to preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his main concern, to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a marvelous message we have to teach our friends and neighbors about freedoms that we have in Christ, the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, because He has given us those directives. And then in verse 4, he says this, "And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in who came by stealth to spy out our liberty." Paul understood liberties, not taking advantage of other folk, but recognizing the liberties that he had in Christ. And then he says, "which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." And Paul, in a couple of his letters anyway, deals with the matter of circumcision. Those who are trying to bind the old law of circumcision on those who are Christians, saying that they needed to be circumcised in order to be a Christian. Paul says, we're not going to be brought under bondage because we have liberties in Christ. And then he says this in verse 5, "to whom we did not yield submission." In other words, we didn't submit to them. "Even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." Always concerned about the gospel being preached. Absolute freedom can really ruin one's life. I don't know how many teenagers have told me in their lives, "I can't wait till I get to be 18. I want to be out on my own. I want to make my own decisions. I don't want anybody telling me what to do." Wait a day or two after you turn 18, and you'll find out somebody's telling you what to do. I guarantee it. Go to work. You have a boss. He tells you what to do, does he not? You may not want to do it, but he's gonna tell you what to do. Always somebody enforcing some sort of rules, regulations, authority over you. But, you know, if we think that we can do whatever we want to do, it's going to ruin our lives. Don't do this, but think about leaving the building today and traveling down the highway out here in St. Albans or Jefferson or South Charles and just go out McCorkle, just 80 miles an hour. Don't do that now. Say, well, I have liberty to do what I please. No, you don't. We kidded Edna when she was living because she got pulled over down here on McCorkle. She was speeding. We called her a speed demon, Edna Adkins. And she said, "I wasn't going very fast." Well, you don't have to go very fast. You can go fast and break the law, right? So we are bound by a system of laws, and God's law is supreme above all others. William Penn said this, "Liberty without obedience is confusion." I think he was right. Liberty without obedience is confusion. Give some thought to what our land would be without the Bible. Mass chaos, confusion, more so than it is now. And obedience without liberty is slavery. Freedom can only exist in proportion, listen, to the wholesome and necessary restraints placed upon it. That to me is vital. Long time ago, we found out that in Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, these words. Actually, it's chapter 25. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord, verse 15 says. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Make a choice. They had the freedom to do that. They were not robots. They were not puppets on a string. But the God of heaven said, you choose this day. Joshua did too, whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Great motto, isn't it? Maybe put it on a placard in your home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We cannot serve God and mammon, Matthew 6 and verse 24. Decisions to make. Christianity promises to make men free, but it does not promise to make them independent. I serve an almighty God, the creator of our universe, the creator of myself. And by the way, I am dependent upon my God for everything. I'm sure that the majority of you, maybe all of you, feel the same way. I am dependent upon God to get through life. But also am told to obey His commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 15. Every man has freedom of choice, but not freedom from choice. Maybe when our children were growing up, we gave them some choices. Maybe when they got to be teenagers, we might have said to them, well, it's your decision. You make the choice. If it's bad, you suffer the consequences. If it's good, then that's all right. But there comes a time when we realize that there are choices that are to be made, and all of those choices are to be based upon the Word of God. And vitally important is that as well. There are some misconceptions about being free from the law of Moses and believing that we are free from all restrictions of spiritual law. Whether very many believe that or not, it's true. Many believe that we're still bound by the law of Moses. Well, you know that's not right. But not only that, some have the idea that since we are free from the Old Testament system, that there is no restriction in regard to our spiritual law, our serving the God of heaven. I mentioned this morning on the radio that our lives have something to follow, and that is the Bible is the basis for human conduct. We learn how to conduct ourselves by a study of God's Word. And there are restrictions. We don't do what we please. Notice in our text that we had read a while ago, Paul said, I wanted to communicate to them the gospel. And that gospel provides certain liberties, liberties that are found in Christ. Even though, according to the text, there were some who did not want to submit to the law of Christ. Would we say today that there are many folk who do not want to submit to the moral laws of God? Well, certainly that's the case. And so in the text, he tells us this is vitally important, and he wanted to preach that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, especially, we could go through verse 4, but I want to emphasize verse 1 of Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Some were trying to bind the old law on folk. Paul says that's not right. Stand fast in the liberty wherein you've been made free. And don't become entangled again with that yoke of bondage. And then he says, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Very important it is for us to follow the law of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you will, and verse 21 says this, to those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. Paul discusses in this text, he became all things to all men. He understood the circumstances of their life and the law situation, and so should we. There is found in this text liberty versus license. Now, I put this statement on here for us to think about, and I've even underscored some words, because it seems like there is a huge violation of these concepts in our world today. There are many who seem to feel that liberty is the individual's right to do what he wants to do. That starts at a very young age, doesn't it? Young folks say, I am going to do what I want to do, and you're not going to stop me. Have you ever heard that one? You have, haven't you? I am going to do what I want to do. And not only that, he or she is going to do it when they want to do it. It doesn't matter. It's what I want to do. And it's when I want to do it. And then we're going to do it in the way that we want to do it. It doesn't matter whether there are others who are in authority over us or not. We're going to do it the way we want to do it. When I was working at a grocery store, we had a young fellow that wanted to do it his own way. You know some people like that, don't you? And one day he was stocking gallons of milk in the cooler. And he had had instructions as to how to do it and how to put everything in its proper place. And he decided on one occasion that instead of stacking the gallon jugs of milk upright, he was going to see how far he could stack them on top of each other upside down. And when he was asked about that, he said, I want to see how many gallons of milk I can get in this cooler. And so he decided to start stacking them upside down on top of one another. Well, after a while, the pressure was relieved and the milk went everywhere. As I came around the corner, I was the assistant manager then. I said, I guess you did it your own way. And you found out it didn't work. Now, what are you going to do? He said, I'm not going to do anything. I said, yes, you are. You're going to clean the mess up. We get into trouble, and even to whom we want to do it. It really doesn't matter. Someone has said, every individual has certain rights, and we might put that in quotes, every individual has certain rights and possessions that others do not have the right to destroy or take away from him. You don't have the right to steal my automobile because it belongs to me. I had the right to purchase it. I had the right to license it. I have the right to drive it. And you can't take that from me. You might try, but you can't. So then, there are certain scriptures that as we look, certain restrictions to man's freedom. Number one is, Paul says, there are many things that are lawful but not expedient. And the word expedient has to do with advantageous. or profitable. There are things that we may do that are not profitable. They're not advantageous to carry out what we need to do. So Paul says, think about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, will this liberty that I have harm anyone else or cause them to stumble? This is an important verse. All of them are, but here's what he says. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Beware lest somehow this liberty, the liberties that we have in Christ, of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. I want to make sure that everything that we do doesn't create a difficulty or a problem for those who are weak. And Paul discusses some of those issues in his letters. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 14. I want to look at just a couple of verses. Romans chapter 14, verse 13, then we'll look at verse 21. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather, the New King James says, resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We don't ever want to do anything that will cause a brother to stumble or to fall. And then in verse 21 of the same text, he says this, it is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. If I were to paraphrase that, I would say this, don't do anything that would cause your brother to stumble or become weak. Isn't that what it's saying? Don't do anything. So, there are restrictions on what God says. Questions that we can ask before we do something. Number one, is it lawful? Does God's law approve of it? Now, it might be approved of the laws of the land, but not be right in the sight of God, right? Divorce for any reason is the law of the land. But that's not God's law. You would agree, right? There are certain things that man does in his life that are not expedient. They're not advantageous. They don't help in any way. What will be the influence of this matter upon others? How we dress, how we talk, how we act, all of those things are vitally important. How do we influence others, and will it cause them to stumble? One man said, I don't care if it makes somebody stumble or not. I'm going to do what I want to do. Wrong attitude, right? Will this matter, and this is probably should have been put at the top, but will it edify? Paul said, I want to do things that will edify, things that will build others up in the faith. And now notice, many people feel that creating and enforcing law is an infringement upon the individual's freedom. If there are certain things that I have to do based on law, then that's an infringement upon my freedoms. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all know that verse? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do we want freedom? Then study and know the truth. Each man does what is right or desirable in his own eyes, which results in most abject slavery of all. And I want to, before we close, to mention these two verses. They are found in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Here's what it says. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error, while they promise them liberty. Is that going on today? Folks promising liberty when there is no liberty? They themselves are the slaves of corruption. Slaves of corruption promising others liberty? Be careful. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Paul discusses the importance of serving righteousness rather than sin in Romans chapter 6. We are either a slave or a servant of righteousness, or we're a slave or servant of sin. And he talks about yielding, to whom we yield ourselves. Choices, yes. So what are we going to do? Who is your master? You cannot serve God and mammon, because you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll cleave to one and despise the other. So, a long time ago it was said, as we read a while ago, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This morning, if you're not yet a Christian, we hope that you have decided to surrender your heart and life to Jesus. And you can do that by believing that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. Jesus said, unless or except you believe that I am He, you know the rest. You will die in your sin. Emphatic, isn't it? Unless or except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Repent of your wrongs. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You repent and you be converted. Confess with your mouth what you believe in the heart, that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And then allow us even this day to baptize you into Christ, immerse you in water, so that you can contact the precious blood of Jesus, and then you can arise and walk in newness of life. The old things are passed away, all things are become new. We hope this morning that you're willing and desirous of surrendering all to follow Jesus and being faithful all the days of your life. If you're a wayward child of God, repent of those sins that you've committed, acknowledge them to the Father, and pray that you be forgiven, and He will forgive you. We're going to sing the song that's been announced as a way of encouraging you to come and make your desires known as we stand and as we sing together.